This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, fantastic stuff in the news this Thursday. I can't get the smile off my face. We're going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to try to get to a bunch of emails. We'll talk about how and why do all the evil people seem to know the Democrats are on their side? This whole Mike Waltz stuff. He's out, but he's back in. We'll discuss it. Someone at the FBI is gone, a very evil man. We'll talk about why you still need to move. All that, emails, all kinds of great sound, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. All right, before I get to any of those things, we need to have a talk. Not about the left, about the right, about us. Not you specifically, but about our politicians, about our... I was about to call them fighters, but that's not exactly accurate. We'll get to that in a moment. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture there's a school, kindergarten. Right? It's a big kindergarten school. Okay, and we're worried about the safety of the kiddos, as I hope you are. I am. And so we hire a security guard. Security guard is there to what? To keep bad guys out. And our security guard, he does that sometimes. But sometimes he doesn't. And when we dig into it, we find out that 10 bad guys every day show up at the school wanting to hurt one of the kids. And he, 9 times out of 10, he stops them. But the 10th time, he holds the door open for them and lets the 10th guy in. Now, is that a good security guard because a large portion of the time he does the job we want him to do? Or is that an evil piece of trash? In fact, is he just as, if not more evil than the scumbag bad guys who were showing up to hurt the kids? I would argue the latter. I would argue he's as or more evil than the demons who were showing up at the school to hurt the kids. That brings me perfectly to John Cornyn and, in fact, the GOP in general. Let's just do a quick recap on, I'll tell you what, we'll focus on the Wisconsin judge, because judges being arrested for violating the law has been all over the news all week. We've talked about it all week long. But let's focus on one judge, Hannah Dugan, and what she did. First, it's just kind of a little intro. Let's remember that Judge Hannah Dugan is not a judge first. She's a communist first. She put on the judge's robes because it would help her aid the revolution.
The law is a real challenge in making sure that justice happens for people. It's transformative in people's lives, but it also, especially in the United States, is considered a stabilizing force. It's something that keeps us on a constant path. The rule of law is how we address our social issues, how we address our disputes, but also how we grow as people. I, as a person who for a couple decades almost represented low-income people, it is due process that really equalizes.
Yeah, yeah, a bunch of other commie gobbledygook. So this Judge Hannah Dugan, what did she do? She had in her possession, in her courtroom, a violent illegal. What happened? Pam Bondi talked about it.
Judge Cano seemed to be... The judge learns that ICE was outside to get the guy because he had been deported in 2013, came back in our country, commits these crimes, charged with committing these crimes, victims in court. Judge finds out. She goes out in the hallway, screams at the immigration officers. She's furious, visibly shaken, upset, sends them off to talk to the chief judge. She comes back in the courtroom. You're not going to believe this. Takes the defendant and the defense attorney back in her chambers, takes them out of private exit and tells them to leave. While a state prosecutor and victims of domestic violence are sitting in the courtroom.
Now, that's all bad, right? I know you don't need any help to hate that dirty communist judge. And I got that. That's all bad. But what are our elected representatives saying about her? About the communists we're up against? About the little demons who were in place all over this country trying to destroy America? Allow me to introduce to you one of the most powerful Republicans in the United States Senate. His name's John Cornyn from the red state of Texas. How would he describe a judge that helps an illegal, a felon illegal, escape from custody? Well, just some misplaced loyalty.
This sounds like a case of misplaced sympathy by those
Never mind. I misspoke. It's actually worse. It's not misplaced loyalty. It's misplaced sympathy.
This sounds like a case of misplaced sympathy by those who are somehow saying the judge is being treated unfairly. Unfortunately, in Washington, D.C., you have these competing narratives and people back home.
Here we go. Now we're gonna dissect this whole thing here, but I want you to pay attention to what he just said there. We have these competing narratives doing the ultimate, well, I mean, both sides are kind of saying stuff type thing.
Home in Texas and elsewhere wonder, you know, what the truth is. But so far, based on what we know, based on your report, it looks to me like the judge was had misplaced sympathies, and rather than enforcing the law impartially as she should have, was actively aiding and abetting an illegal immigrant to.
Tell me, on the degrees of evil, who is higher? And I don't know the answer to this question. You form it in your mind, but who's more evil on an evil scale? The communist judge who helps an illegal felon escape from the law so he can go hurt, rape, murder more people? Is the judge the most evil? Is the illegal the most evil? Or is the one you hired to stop them, who's using the nicest possible language, massaging the situation as best he can, where is he on that scale? We may argue on where these people place or should be placed on that most evil scale, but I don't think it's even arguable. They're all on it, every single one of them. I expect Hannah Dugan to behave like a vile demon because that's what she is. She's a communist. I expect the illegal to show up and rape and murder and hurt as many people as possible. That's what happens. Barbarians do barbaric things. But the American voter, I elect Republicans like John Cornyn, not that I would ever vote for him, but I elect Republicans like John Cornyn specifically so he will fight against them with every fiber of his being. tooth and nail. I want him to wake up and fight against these savages as they destroy my country. And instead, the losers, low-T weenies we send back to Washington, D.C., describe the most evil people who reside in our country, who hold positions of power in our country, as having misplaced sympathies. I want to again remind you, this entire rant was a reminder for you, and it was a wake up for me, another reminder for me, because I need these reminders from time to time too. I know there's good things in the news. We'll get to that. We'll get to Elvis Chan and some other things in a moment. I know there are good things happening out there. You have a ton of work to do, and so do I. There is so much work to do reforming the GOP. I'm not talking about voting against Democrats. That's the bare minimum. Everybody has to do that. If you're a sane human being, you vote against Democrats. That's obvious at this point in time. I'm talking about the hard internal work of cleaning out the filth inside of the GOP, the rancid filth like John Cornyn and loser Lankford and these other types who have held the door open for communists in this country for years. We hire them as the school security guard to stop bad men from getting in. They stop most of them, but then let half of them in and then turn to us and say, look at me, I'm fighting for you, stopping the bad guys. We have got to stop this crap. Misplaced sympathies? That's how we're describing a criminal? I'll tell you something. Did you know that in a just society, in a society you wanted to continue, I know this sounds bonkers because we're in America and we don't have that kind of society, but the most severe punishments in any society should be for elected officials who commit crimes with their office. Did you know that? Hannah Dugan should receive a fair trial and the death penalty. Why do I say that? Because currently in this country, there are other people sitting on death row. I don't care what you did. If you are sitting on death row, Hannah Dugan deserves to be there as well because she took her position as a judge and used it to break the law. That's the height of evil, and the most severe punishment in any society should be reserved for government officials who commit crimes with their office. Instead, well, I guess you got some misplaced sympathies. How are we supposed to win with these losers? Good grief. Sorry, I'm mad. John Cornyn brings out the worst in me. I'm going to be fine. I'm fine now. I can feel myself getting calm. Calm as can be, Chris. Calm as can be. It's probably the relief factor. It's the fact that I'm not in pain. That's why I'm so calm. See, what? Don't shake your head, Chris. The truth is, physical pain is not something you have to live with. It's not. That's a lie. You can do something about it. Actually attack the problem and do something about it, not mask it and not ignoring it. Going to work shouldn't hurt. Going for a walk shouldn't hurt. Golfing, doing the things you love to do shouldn't hurt your knees, your back, your feet, your whatever. Relief Factor is there for the daily pain that plagues your life. It's 100% drug-free. It works so well, they sell 3 weeks of it, and that's it. A three-week quick start, $19.95. They say, hey, just try it. There's a reason almost everybody orders more. Join the other million people who've tried Relief Factor. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything. All 3 hours, just like every Friday, dedicated to you and your questions. Whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They're already pouring in. Email them in now. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, this is from my friend Brianna Morello. Exclusive. FBI places censorship agent Elvis Chan on terminal leave. Now, let's pause and just recap really quickly for those who kind of get lost in how many scandals there are, or maybe you're newly paying attention to politics. The FBI is an evil secret state police agency. It's not a law enforcement agency. They're not the good guys at all. They're the bad guys, very much so. How evil are they? Well, Hunter Biden was a lifelong felon and a disaster. He just is. And because he's apparently one of the most self-destructive people in human history, he likes to record his crimes and put them all on his laptop. But wait, there's more. After recording his crimes and putting them on his laptop, he then takes that very same laptop with the crimes on them. He takes it down to a laptop repair shop where somebody will then witness his crime. But wait, there's actually more. He'll then forget about the computer. And just so you know, all those phone repair, laptop repair shops, computer repair shops, they all have the same policy. Every single one of them. And it's right there in the paperwork you sign. If you leave it with them for a certain amount of time, whatever that time is, it becomes their possession. It becomes theirs. So the owner of this laptop repair shop takes possession of the laptop. He looks at it. It's his. He sees that the vice president, his son is a multi-time felon. He thinks, okay, probably bad. I'll turn it into the FBI. The FBI took possession of it, looked at it. The FBI knew it had hard evidence in its hands that Joe Biden's son is a multi-time felon. It's all the evidence is right there. But because the FBI is not a law enforcement agency, it's an evil secret state police agency, they chose to hide those crimes. They just kind of, hey, put the laptop in a box in the corner or something. They were just going to make it disappear like they do with all evidence against Democrats. But something terrible happened to the FBI, as they were illegally wiretapping a bunch of different people in Trump's circle. They made a discovery when Rudy Giuliani sent an email. They discovered the laptop information had gotten out. The owner of the laptop had made a copy of it. He'd gotten a hold of reporters about it. And the New York Post was getting ready to run a front page story exposing then candidate Joe Biden as having a son who was a multi-time felon. So what do you do about that? Hey, Chris, go ahead and grab the Mark Zuckerberg stuff while you're sitting there doing nothing. What do you do about that? You see, the FBI could be honest in this moment, or the FBI could do its job. Now, you already know the rest of the story. We'll play you the Mark Zuckerberg thing in a moment, but the FBI went to Facebook, the largest, most powerful social media platform on the planet, and here's what happened.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. We thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump of that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
Just
so
go ahead and stop. That's enough, Chris. That, of course, is presented to you in the most benign possible way by Mark Zuckerberg. It wasn't a one-time meeting where the FBI said, watch out for the Russians. We know now, because the FBI has admitted it, they met all the time. They met weekly. And Elvis Chan, FBI special agent Elvis Chan, was the point man meeting with social media companies in the United States of America, telling them to censor a Hunter Biden laptop story that he knew was true. The Federal Bureau of Investigation not only hid the information from the general public, not only protected the Biden family from prosecution when the evidence was about to come out and the general public was going to find out about the crimes of the Biden family leading up to the 2020 election. Elvis Chan used his position as special agent in the FBI to go censor the information so Donald Trump would lose the election and Joe Biden would win the election. Allow me to circle back to what I said about Judge Hannah Dugan and what I believe should happen to her after a trial. Exactly the same thing should happen to anybody at the FBI who committed crimes using their FBI badge so Democrats could win elections. And today, we have the beginning. He was placed on leave. Is this an arrest? Of course not. Is it enough? It's not even a sniff of being enough. But it's an indication that good things are happening. I'll continue on with that in just a moment. Before I continue on with that, I know it's hard to find good people to work for your company. I know the frustrations you go through. I know because I talk to my friends all the time. I just recently had to do it myself. It's hard to find somebody who's qualified, who shows up, who cares. Where do you begin? ZipRecruiter is where you begin. ZipRecruiter is where all the good employees already are, waiting for you. And it's not like you have to wait. You know, 80% of the companies that sign up ZipRecruiter, 4 out of 5, find a good one the first day. The first day. I'm not telling you to sign up for a year. The first day. They even have Zip Intro. You can essentially speed date your potential employees, just video calls back to back, to see if they work. ZipRecruiter makes it easy. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
This is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, and a proud American citizen. I'm celebrating America's 250th birthday on my podcast, Newt's World, with 15 special episodes. And I've got some great guests. Walter Isaacson, Jonathan Turley, Brett Baer.
I will be working because it's a big, big day. I'll be in Washington and have all kinds of coverage through the day of America 250.
Rachel Compass-Duffy.
There's nothing like American music. We're the home of rock and roll. We're the home of rap. We're the home of pop music.
Eric Metaxas. Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with 4 other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
The story of the national anthem and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Join me and let's celebrate America's 250. Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, back to Elvis Chan being placed on terminal leave. Again, the reporting's from Brianna Morello. Apparently, he has not accessed his agency devices for almost a month. So do the math on this. You understand how this works. They took him away from him. He was probably let out of the building. Is this an arrest, an imprisonment? Of course it's not. But this is back to what I was discussing last night. I demand results. I demand government criminals go to prison. Regular criminals go to prison. people who commit crimes in the government should go to prison for even longer. I'm going to demand that. I'm going to demand more of Bondi, of Cash Patel. I demand more of Trump himself. I do. But they're doing it. Some of them are doing it. Maybe all of them are doing it. We are not going to know yet whether or not the work is getting done. If we're here a year from now and there aren't government people in handcuffs, they failed and they are failing us. But every indication I'm seeing now is that things are being put in motion slowly, quietly, deliberately, as it has to be, because these people have a laundry list of government protections, but it's happening. And again, this is me. If it doesn't, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to blast away. This comes to what it comes back to what we were talking about last night when someone asked, hey, why don't you have Dan Bongino on? You guys are friends. Figure out what's going on over there. And what did I tell you? He's got to do things quietly, internally. Dan knows the problems. From what I'm told, I don't know him. Cash Patel knows the problems. They know the problems. Things have to be done, and not on the radio and not on the television. That's why, actually, it's part of the reason why I don't like the Bondi on the news every night stuff. I don't like it. I understand there's a benefit to getting your message out there. I want my attorney general not to be a camera hawk. I want my attorney general to be diligently destroying communism with the doors closed. That's what I want. I want her behind closed doors hatching new schemes to root out the government criminals from our country. That's what I want. But things are beginning. We will see. Look, listen to this. This is one of the January 6 prosecutors. And remember, maybe January 6 is not an issue you're passionate about. Maybe you look back on that day and you're still really uncomfortable. Or even if that's not what it does for you, maybe it's not a hot button issue for you. Let me explain why it is for me. I hate bullies in general. And I really, really despise when governments smash normal people just because they care. When it's not justified, just because they can, I mean, and when it's completely unjustified. The federal government, and whatever you believe about January 6th, whether the feds caused it or whatever, the federal government used January 6th. The communists in our government used January 6th as an excuse to go arrest all the people they've been wanting to arrest, to hurt all the people they wanted to hurt. And regular people, normal people, just like you and me, were smashed and destroyed by the federal government with their efforts. And those people, they're not all dead. Some of them killed themselves, I should note, Matthew Perna and others. But some of those people, the ones who aren't dead, their lives are still destroyed. They're flat broke, busted, no job, no girlfriend, no husband, no nothing. The federal government destroyed these people's lives, and that bothers me. Powerful people destroyed these people's lives. Listen to this January 6th prosecutor.
We left the office, and 2 hours later, the letters started rolling in, terminating us. At the end of the night, 15 U.S. attorneys, assistant U.S. attorneys, had been fired. The termination letter I received stated the decision was based on your actions and the prosecution of persons relating to the events that occurred at or near the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. An executive order.
I want you to tell you that if you're uncomfortable with this lady crying, I also am uncomfortable with her crying. I'm uncomfortable because nobody captured all of her tears so I could drink them on camera.
Order issued on January 20th, 2025, the president characterized that work as having involved a grave national injustice that has perpetrated upon the American people over the last 4 years. It went on to say that my hiring has hindered the ability of the acting U.S. Attorney Martin to staff his office in furtherance of his obligation to faithfully implement the agenda that the American people elected President Trump to execute. The termination letter made it clear to me that Mr. Martin does not understand the role of a prosecutor. U.S. attorneys represent the United States of America, not the president. Firing 15 qualified attorneys created an immediate deficit in the office to appropriately prosecute cases.
Didn't I tell you there was great news? That monster was a communist, is a communist first, wormed her way up the legal ladder to become a big shot U.S. attorney. And then, because she's a communist first, fighting a revolution, used her position of power with glee to take the people she hates politically and destroy their lives without a care in the world. Just destroyed lives as fast as she could possibly destroy them, because she's a communist first and a U.S. attorney second. And today, she's crying. She's sad. She's miserable. She's suffering because she lost that power she's been seeking. That's why she's so sad. Remember that story I told you a long time ago about Barack Obama? Not one a lot of people knew, because I got it kind of secondhand. Guy I was talking to, well, graduated with Barack Obama. Actually, a guy I was talking to knows a guy who graduated with Barack Obama from Harvard. And they were all gathering around, all these future kings and queens, talking about what they were going to do when they graduated. And every one of them, of course, because it's Harvard, they're all going into some lucrative law job here or finance job there. And I'm going to be CEO of this and this and this and that. And they got to one Barack Obama, and Barack Obama said something that made them all laugh and mock him. Barack Obama said, "I'm going to go be a community organizer." They were all, "Wait, what? What even is that?" But Barack Obama understood something none of those guys did, because you see, to this day, Barack Obama doesn't have to work hard for a meeting with any of them. They have to work hard for a meeting with him. Because he wasn't out there seeking just money. He understood where power is. He was going to grab it, and he was going to use it. That's how communists look at everything. Everything. That's why your son's kindergarten teacher has pink hair and a rainbow flag on the wall. That's why Hollywood just happened to another show. I hardly ever watch TV. Ob and I tried to watch one last night. Dexter. It was an old show, Dexter, we had watched. They came out with a new version of it. It took them 5 minutes to cram some LGBTQ crap in there. That's why they're not making shows. They're not teaching kindergarten. They're not being generals and admirals in the military. They're not being U.S. prosecutors. They're not being judges. They're none of those things first. Those are costumes they wear. They're communists first. They're communists first, and because they're communists first, that's why they sought out the positions of power they have. They sought those positions out to aid the revolution. If they're firing, if they're being fired, if they're crying, it's a good day in this country. All right, let's talk about the Mike Walls thing real quick. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So a bunch of people were asking me about what I think about the Mike Waltz stuff. For those a little bit out of the news, here's your 30-second recap. Mike Waltz, former Green Beret, combat veteran. I've actually interviewed him before. Was a congressman from Florida. Trump likes him. Trump grabs him and appoints him as a national security advisor. So he was national security advisor Mike Waltz. He has a deputy named Alex Wong. That'll be important here for a moment. Waltz and Wong, we all woke up today. We got the news that Waltz is out. Waltz is out. Mike Waltz is out. And everyone thought he was getting fired. Or, you know, do the whole D.C. thing. Well, I'm resigning to spend more time with my family, which is Washington, D.C. speak for I got fired and I don't want to be embarrassed. So everyone kind of thought that's what this was. And then a little later on, a couple hours before the show, Trump gets out there and announces, hey, he's going to be my new ambassador to the United Nations. Now, what's actually going on here. The reason I didn't open the show with it is we don't really know. And it's very likely that we're not going to know. I can tell you what I suspect. Here's what I suspect. Trump likes Mike Waltz. We know that. That we know. He likes Mike Waltz. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made him national security advisor. Trump, the Trump administration, I don't want to make it just about Trump specifically, but he's going to be part of this. The Trump administration, they are starting to feel the heat of the system. The system has been relentlessly hounding Pete Hegseth, this whole signal chat thing, over and over and over again, hounding it. Trump is having to answer questions every day. We just played one last night. Do you have 100% confidence in Pete Hegseth? Every single day, question that. What about Pete Hegseth? Hey, Pete Hegseth's a big screw-up. Why haven't you let him go yet? What I suspect is this. I suspect the Trump administration wants to give the media a scalp, but at the same time doesn't want to give the media a scalp. Probably, I would bet you money. I'll bet you money. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. I bet you we will get details leaked over the weekend, if not sometime next week. I bet you we'll get details leaked that there was a debate inside of the White House how to handle the Mike Waltz thing, because he's been the one most people blame for the whole signal chat snafu. I bet you we'll get the details. There was a debate. And the debate was simply this. We should fire Mike Waltz. It's his fault. We should fire him and get the media off our back. And then half the people who are correct, I should note, will come out and say, no, now we can't fire him because that would give these people a scalp. That'll only make them hungrier and more ravenous. And so they did after this debate. Again, this is just what I suspect. I suspect after this debate, they did what often happens in Republican politics, and they split the baby. The baby splitting being, well, let's not fire him. Let's remove him from his post, give him a totally different post, thus making it look like we didn't fire him, but we're kind of cross-decking him onto a different part of the government. So everyone saves face, but Mike Waltz is out. I suspect that's what happened, and I don't like it. But it is what it is. I don't have anything more to say about it. It is what it is. That's what I suspect happened. I guess we'll find out. Details always come to us eventually through some emails. Hey, Jesse, you have the best show on the radio. I miss Rush. You helped me in that you are funny and you make complex understandable. I just have one thing I wish you would help me with. Pam Bondi and a few others are not the enemy. They're doing good work and someone needs to do PR and let the uninformed know the things that are happening. I have no issue with railing against people who do stupid things on our side, like your Senator Kendall and Mitch. It just brings me down. I need lifted up. I've been a hospice chaplain for 30 years, and Rush was my car companion. You have helped fill that void and distraction. I value you greatly. Look, whether or not we cheer or pour scorn on Pam Bondi is entirely up to Pam Bondi. What Pam Bondi has to do, the task before her, is enormous. She essentially, she has to do the legal version of being the first one to climb Mount Everest, and this is what I mean. The Department of Justice, instead of holding government people accountable, has protected government people for the entire 43 years of my existence. Under Republicans and Democrats. Eric Holder did it. Bill Barr did it. Jeff Sessions did it. They all do it. They all get criminal referrals. Hey, this FBI agent did this. This judge did that. And the Department of Justice, instead of taking these government criminals and throwing them in a dark hole, has protected these people. They have done this for so long, now they view it as really their role as protecting government people. Pam Bondi must break that cycle. She can't be a good Republican AG. It's not enough. Arresting cartel members is not enough. The latest press conference with a drug bust is not enough. And I realize the task in front of Pam Bondi is daunting because we're asking her to be some system-shattering reformer. And while she has a background, you know, it's not terrible, it's not wonderful, her background isn't that of a system-shattering reformer. It's much more of a kind of a normie Republican background. But we can't afford a normie Republican. When I am hard on Bondi, or anybody really, anyone on our side, you should understand that I am hard because I am operating with a desperation that knows we have now less than 4 years to clean out the communist filth, because when these people come back to power, my word, you can't imagine the things they're going to do. You thought it was bad under Joe Biden? That was them getting ready. That was the beginning. That was them just kind of crossing the I's and dotting the T's on the horrible things they want to do to American citizens. We cannot afford Pam Bondi to be okay. And you know what? We can't even afford her to be good. We can't. We need great. We need amazing. We need something that we haven't ever had. We need something that we've never had, at least in my lifetime. She can't afford to be good. She has to be legendary. And so, look, when she does great, I'll praise, as I have. But we need a lot of work done. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Elvis Chan's out there on terminal leave. Could really use a new set of handcuffs. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, let's talk about the American left and their love of criminals and how the criminals know it. Next.
On Newt's World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. And I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors, along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.